You're listening to the Courageous Life Podcast, helping you develop courage and resilience in a perilous and unpredictable world. This is your host, Sean Mitzel. I'm coming to you from the mountains of northern Idaho. I'm glad you're with us. On today's podcast, I cover in the Worldview segment the recent public service announcement, anti-gun, that it was encouraging children to steal their guns in the home from their parents and give them to their teachers at school. For the main segment, Monica and I continue to discuss food and GMOs and different, what we're calling levels of eating. On today's Worldview segment, I'm going to talk about the recent and viral public service announcement regarding guns. This was put out by an anti-gun organization called Sleeper 13, or at least that's the people who produced the public service announcement. And this was basically a public service announcement denouncing the right of Americans to own guns. And it encouraged children to steal their parents' guns and turn them in to their teachers. This was an absolutely ridiculous public service announcement. And I want to play it for you and then just narrate a little bit along the way. It's only a couple of minutes long, so I'm going to start it now. Okay, so what it's depicting now, if you haven't seen this, is it's showing your a typical, what appears to be a middle-class family, and mom sitting on the couch reading a newspaper. Everybody's looks put together. It doesn't look like a drug house or anything like that. They show a teenage boy going upstairs, sneaking into mom and dad's room, and stealing a handgun. He picks up the gun. He does not check its status, does not unload it, has no idea the condition of it, just simply puts it in his book bag, and then he continues to sit there and contemplate the fact that there's a gun in the house and how bad this is, etc. And it cuts over to a scene in a typical school, looks like a middle school. And they show this kid, he's got the backpack on and he's got the gun in the backpack. And he's sitting down in class. Okay, this kid has already committed multiple felonies. And of course, this video is promoting this. And it goes on and on. And you see them just work their way through the class, etc. And then we get to this point where the boy, you know, can just see him. He is just in anguish over the fact that there's a gun in his backpack and that it was in his house. At the end of the class, he waits for everyone else to leave and he walks up to the teacher with his book bag and just kind of pulls out the gun and says this.
Can you take this away? I don't feel safe.
Okay, and then that's basically where it says now. And it says, our children deserve a safe world. And it says, stop gun violence now. Now, what I want to get at with this is, you know, you have a couple things at play here. One, you have the encouraging of stealing from your parents legally owned guns. You have the idea that this organization does not like constitutional rights of being able to own a weapon to protect yourself. The boy handles the weapon without any regard to its status. He doesn't know if it's loaded or unloaded. It's presumably loaded. It was in a drawer, what looked like for self-defense of the home. And so there's a handling. He steals the weapon from his parents, and he puts it in his backpack. He, you know, it's probably loaded. He's concealing the weapon illegally. In the vast majority of states, this would be illegal. He's probably not of age to be able to carry around a handgun. He takes it onto school property. He brandishes the weapon to the teacher, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is an atrocious public service announcement. But the most important thing that I want to pull away from this is stealing from the parents. Okay, we can all agree, I think, at least everybody who would listen to this podcast, that Americans have the right, inherent right, to own weapons for self-defense. But the dishonoring of parents, this is an important point from a Christian perspective that I want to understand here. Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Okay, and it's the idea of children honoring their mother and their father. Now, liberal groups do not buy into this. They have an agenda. They don't really care so much about children honoring their mothers and their fathers so much as their public agenda. Okay, that they really do not have that as an agenda item on their list. So the fact that this kid is stealing from his mother and his father and turning the weapon into the teacher, that's a good thing. That's portrayed as a good thing. What I think a lot of liberals do not understand is what they really are statists. They want the state to be the authority. They don't want parents. They want to remove parents. And that's consistent with liberal ideology. Whether it be, you know, getting the state into the home, or really getting the parents out of the way. And there's 100 examples that we could bring up. It's the idea that underage minors should have access to contraception and even abortions without their parents' knowledge, or that the education that's being given to them in the public schools with regards to sexual identity and orientation and just sexual education in general, that's not the parents' rights any longer to determine what their kids learn from the schools. And 100 other examples like this. And this is just another one. Okay, this is encouraging the dishonoring of mothers and fathers by children. Okay, and that's what I wanted to pull out of it. It's important to understand that. There's also one more thing. When you look at, I went just out of curiosity, I went to Snopes, which I can't stand Snopes, because when did they become the ultimate authority of truth? And I'm not saying that's not necessarily okay to go to Snopes to determine if something was bogus or not bogus, but you cannot look to them as the ultimate authority. Okay, how do you know they have the truth with regards to any kind of particular subject? But I did it anyway, as I often do, which I am very skeptical of Snopes, and to see what they would say about this. It was a mixture for them. So it was true that this video, the claim was this. An anti-gun group produced a PSA, public service announcement, that encourages children to steal their parents' guns in order to reduce violence in schools. Okay, they said true. This video went viral, encourages children to steal their parents' guns in order to reduce violence in schools. But where they said was false is that the video was produced by an established, reputable anti-gun group. Well, that's in the eye of the beholder. This group is obviously anti-gun. If you want to consider them established or reputable, that's another question altogether, but I don't think it matters so much. Let's talk about GMO.
Okay.
Because it's a controversial topic. A lot of people say, "Hey, you're never going to feed the poor unless you embrace GMOs." And hey, GMO. I've even heard this from Christians, that GMOs are a form of dominion and we should do it. And I find that terribly.
Well, yeah, because you and I have talked about that, because like we were just saying earlier today, you're taking all the diversity of seed and all the world's population of food growing possibilities and putting it in the hands of a few.
Yeah.
Because it's all patented.
Right. That's probably besides the health aspect, that's probably the number one problem.
With GMOs. I mean,
it might be the number one problem
I
have with GMOs, is the patenting of food and the putting food sovereignty and food security into the hands of the very few.
Yeah.
That is a dangerous aspect.
We're talking six major corporations worldwide.
That own like 70% of the seeds or something like that.
Yeah. And you know, heirloom seeds are dying out partially because they're being, you know, infected or whatever.
Cross-pollination.
By GMs.
Yeah. So what are GMOs?
Okay. So GMO are living organisms whose genetic material has been artificially manipulated in a laboratory, and they do this through genetic engineering. So that's why it's called genetically modified organisms.
Okay.
It's a relatively new science, and it creates combinations of, like, takes plant DNA, animal DNA, bacteria, and viral genes, and then kind of splices them all together.
Okay, so they're literally putting genes in. It's like you could take an animal gene and put it into a plant in order to develop some kind of immunity, right?
Right, exactly. And this is not the same as what we do with, like, if we see, you know, a certain trait that
a
we like.
A good rabbit.
Yes, and then...
That has good mothering instincts.
Right, breeding them. That's right. Not the same thing because right. That's natural selective breeding. Yeah. And this is not natural. It's all done in a laboratory. Okay. And it's sticking things in that would never, like, you're not going to, a rabbit's not going to get a tree gene
right.
or a plant gene.
Right. Now, I want to talk about that real quick because that you hit on an interesting point of basically the selection. So breeding selection.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what people have done for thousands of years.
Yes.
And this is why we have, like, some of our heirloom varieties of tomatoes and corn and
right.
and different things like that. So how we get a good edible tomato was through people crossbreeding.
Right, exactly.
You know, and that's perfectly fine and good. And this you can do this with almost anything. We do it in force. When we cut down trees for lumber, a technique is what's called a seed tree method, where they'll leave the best, like maybe 5 to 10 of the best trees per acre to naturally reseed the area.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll cut down everything else when it naturally reseeds the area and those tree starts get going, then they'll take out the seed trees.
Yeah, well, I would say that in us doing that selective type breeding, whether it's with, you know, chickens or dogs or whatever, that we are mimicking nature
yes.
rather than circumventing nature.
Yes, that's a good point.
And that's what really GM does. It
yeah.
says, you know, I don't have to go with nature. I can go beyond that and do something that's completely unnatural.
Right.
Hence creating something that's more unstable.
Right. Another example would be different types of cattle. Different types of cattle do well on grass. As
mm-hmm.
opposed to the confined animal feeding operations who all, they could care less about that. They want cows that can eat out of the trough.
Right, and produce.
And produce and, you know, grow the fastest,
mm-hmm.
regardless of health or anything else.
Right.
So that would be an example. And there's another example would be Joel Salatin's son, from a very young age, took over the rabbit breeding business on his farm
mm-hmm.
in Virginia. And he did what is called line breeding. So he did. He basically wanted to produce a rabbit that did well on grass. I know, as opposed to, you know, a lot of our typical rabbits that people grow, they might not do as well on grass. They do better on these pellets and things that
right.
that they're used to, because over time that's how we've bred them. Well, he wanted to finish them on grass, and that's what they do there. And so it took a lot of years. It took several years to kind of basically line breed a rabbit that did very well on grass.
Yeah.
So those are some examples.
Yeah, and that, again, it's something that happens in nature. Packs of dogs do that.
Yeah.
They breed with the strongest male will breed with the females,
yeah.
and that then makes yeah. a next stronger generation.
One more example. I got this because this is a... It's getting into permaculture, which I think is a much better model than, say, organic farming.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where, in permaculture, if you're going to plant, say, a food forest or even a bunch of trees along a swale, productive trees, so fruit and nut trees and support trees, what people will recommend, what permaculturalists will recommend, and I would be the same, is that you actually overplant the area. You plant a bunch of seedling trees mm-hmm. in the area, and as they start growing up, you pick the strongest ones, and then you start getting rid of the trees that are around those strong trees.
Right.
Okay, so you're not just planting, oh, nope, I'm going to plant my one every 10 feet or every 12 feet, and then I'm going to fertilize it and put chemicals on it and force that one to grow. No, I want the best trees.
Right, because you want to have the least amount of input, and that those trees,
right.
the ones that are strongest, are going to be the ones that grow without you having to do very much.
Right. So as you can tell, we're passionate about this area, and this is the way I think that people should be going, as opposed to genetically modifying organisms.
Right. Exactly. So let's talk about do we avoid GMOs because they're harmful, like harmful to our health? Do you think? I mean. There aren't the studies that are out right now, and from Europe, you get studies that kind of show both ways. And so Europe has been like, no, we don't want GMOs right. here.
Well, I think it's important to just very quickly talk about the fundamental assumption that different countries have approached this with. So if you look at Europe, if you look at Japan, if you look at
Canada.
And I'm not sure about Australia or New Zealand.
I think Australia is the same way.
But their tact has been, with regards to GMOs, is that they have not yet been proven safe.
Right.
So we're not going to allow it.
Right.
Where America has said they have not yet been proven dangerous. So we're going to allow it.
Right. And not even allow it. I mean, it's almost promoted in the government.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, there's this back and forth between people from the government working in
the revolving door.
Yeah, working in high things like in the USDA type thing, and then going over and working with Monsanto, one of the biggest corporations for GMOs, and vice versa. It makes it looks very suspicious.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it is the crony capitalism in this regard, big time.
And again, you know, it's we can't say, oh, it's all the corporation's fault because Americans haven't forced the government to do anything about it. And the corporations, the whole point of the GMO production is so that they can use all their chemicals. I mean, all these companies that are creating GMOs are originally chemical companies.
Yeah.
And they thought, well, how can we push this a little bit farther? And so they got into the agricultural business and started creating these patented seeds that require their chemicals that they make.
And unfortunately, the Supreme Court, and I think it was in the 80s, there was a huge, huge decision, which I think it was disastrous, and that is that basically life can be patented. And that's where we get the patenting of seeds, the patenting of genes, which I don't think ever should have been. You should not be able to patent food.
Absolutely period. Not.
And again, like I said, you're putting in the hands of statists control of the food supply into the very few.
Yeah.
That is the number one tragedy.
GMOs. It's dangerous. It really is. And so, you know, here we have chemical companies that want to sell their chemicals, and so they're ensuring that by creating seeds that require it.
Right.
And then using that as the primary, like, large crop that is being subsidized by the U.S. government so that we can have lots of corn and soy.
Right. And like I said before, I'll mention this one more time, is on the one hand, the U.S. government subsidizes the Monsantos of the world, big agriculture. You know, even, and I'm just going to say it, the farmer that farms this way,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the organic guy or the natural guy who does not subsidize.
Right.
And if he's an organic guy and he really wants that silly label, then he's going to pay for it.
Gonna pay up.
That's right. Now, I'm going to be fair to the farmers because a lot of them are stuck. A lot of them are stuck in this vicious cycle where they have to buy, Monsanto seed or, you know, I'm not saying Monsanto only.
Right. Dow.
There's many
places,
of them.
Yeah.
And they're forced to use those chemicals. And guess what? The next year, nothing's going to grow in that field because it's practically sterile unless you put on some chemicals.
Right.
Put on that fertilizer, put on that.
Well, and the other thing is that yes, the government is subsidizing, but these farmers are not hugely profitable. It's not like they're leaving at the end of the year going, wow, that was a major cash crop this year. That's not the case. And we've watched a lot of documentaries that follow these farmers that are farming GMO crops and everything else, and they're living very simply.
Yeah,
they don't even eat their own food because
Won't eat their own food.
These crops are grown for feed and biofuel. Yeah. These are not.
One quick thing on that: a third of the world's food supply, a third of it that's grown, and I'm talking, you know, a lot of it's the majority, a bulk of what I'm talking about right now is corn and soy, is fed to animals.
Right.
And a majority of that is fed to cows.
Mm-hmm.
Which a cow is not even supposed to eat grain, people. A cow is supposed to eat grass.
Right.
But anyway.
Doesn't matter. So yeah, these farmers are not even able to use their own land. They're going to the grocery stores like everyone else is because they've ruined it with all of this, these massive crops, trying to eke out a living. These are not people that are making these amazing incomes. They're just not. The ones that are profiting from this are the big corporations. And on that note, then the government too, because so much money is going to individuals within the government.
Okay.
So.
Well, how about getting back to that question? Are they harmful? Are GMOs harmful? Because we not only have, you not only have your Terminex technology and you have your GMO corn that's blue and it's literally labeled as a pesticide. People, mm-hmm. It is a pesticide.
Yeah.
That corn growing in that farmer's field that's GMO is a pesticide.
Well, yeah, and as a matter of fact, I think it even says on the packs, do not eat. I mean, it's like, this is dangerous stuff. Like, don't consume this. Like, once it's grown, it's perfectly safe, people.
Sure.
But before, it's in seed form, don't eat it. All the chemicals have been, thrown on it. It's much more healthy.
Pesticides and herbicides and, chemical fertilizers and et cetera. Okay, so... Do we know for sure if they're harmful?
Absolutely not. Do I know for sure whether the actual food that has been, messed with scientifically is going to alter my body in some way? No, I don't know that. But I do know that with every year that they plant this stuff, they're having to increase the amount of herbicides and pesticides they're using. Specifically the herbicides, because they're creating super weeds.
Yes.
Weeds that are adapting, now resistant.
They're adapting and resistant to the chemicals.
Right. So we're talking massive amounts of chemicals being sprayed on the soy and on the corn, which is then being fed into our system, whether it's through high fructose corn syrup, which we watched that interesting little documentary on that, which is in almost everything.
Breads, everything. Go read your labels on your cereals and breads, and it'll
canned
all.
Canned tomatoes. I mean, canned tomatoes, like diced tomatoes. There's only one brand that doesn't have, and I don't even. I'm so looking forward to growing our own tomatoes and not having to buy canned tomatoes anymore. Yeah. And I've started buying them from the co-op, and they're organic and jarred and everything else. But in the regular grocery store, you can go look at almost any even tomato products and see high fructose corn syrup.
Right.
It's amazing. So when they're doing all of that, it's getting into all of our food, and all of those pesticides and herbicides are also getting into our food. So is the actual seed or the plant the problem? Maybe not. We don't know. Like you said, a lot of other countries are out and say, well, we're not sure, so we're not going to do it. America's like, we're not sure, so we are going to do it.
Right.
But the pesticides and the herbicides that are included in that, you cannot get out all the way. Some of it has made its way into the plant. I mean, plants have leaves and everything else and artery-type, systems that it all flows through. So, yeah, I would say it's dangerous.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, you cannot, just common sense, even though we can't prove it scientifically via the scientific method, common sense would tell us that it's not good.
Right, and a lot of the testing, I think, for the GMs has been done by the corporation.
Industry. By the industry.
Right, so...
They did that one famous three-month test. A three-month test on the rats, and they said, oh, everything's good.
It's fine.
And then that same test was taken out farther in, I think it was France. And, they took those rats out to a year or even 2 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just tons of problems that started at the 6 or 8 month mark.
Right, so basically with prolonged exposure to GM foods, there starts becoming problems.
Yeah, and I believe that to be true, and nobody's going to convince me otherwise. And again, it's not because I just want to believe that. It's common sense.
It is common sense.
It cannot be good.
No.
In almost every case that we've seen, how can we possibly have all these increased allergic food allergies and chronic disease mm-hmm. without this being a contributing factor.
Yeah. Well, especially when we see, you know, the majority of what Americans are eating, and so much of what we talked about
yeah.
with what they're eating is going to be containing all the stuff that we're talking about with
yeah.
GMOs.
I want to say, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I know they're extremely high. The amount of, say corn, for example, corn grown in the United States, I want to say it's somewhere in the 80 to 90% range of corn growing in the United States is GMO.
Yes.
And the same thing with soybeans, and the same thing with, I think, beets and cotton.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of very high percentages are GMO. And,
yeah.
and now I want to say that they approved GMO salmon.
Yep.
And who knows what else.
I know they're working on genetically modified beef as well, like a cow. But what they've done to, you know, even to cows right now, just via injection, putting the RBST in the milk.
Right. Now, so most of the GMO corn, like I said, pretty high percentage of the corn that is in the United States is GMO, but a lot of that is fed to animals. And even though, like, the farmers say, no, we wouldn't eat that.
Right.
But it's used for animals, and it's used for high fructose corn syrup.
Right, and guess what?
Eating that.
You're eating it.
Yeah.
You're eating it, regardless of whether it's in high fructose corn syrup or not. If you get nothing that's high fructose okay. corn syrup, but you're not getting organic beef or organic chicken, you're eating it.
How about the fact that when you have commercial agriculture, and with all that spray and everything else, what about our pollinators? What about our wildlife? And that's not to be a hippie
tree hugger,
but is those guys are necessary. They're our partners in growing food.
Right. I mean, yeah, you want to attract birds. You want to attract bees, worms. I mean, you want all of these
yeah.
things in your soil and
that
in your environment.
Soil does not have worms in it. It doesn't have...
No.
Microorganisms, you know, that's what makes
good quality soil
and food is the soil.
Yes.
That's the key. That's why GMO crops or commercially, even just commercially grown crops have so little nutritional value.
Yeah.
There's nothing in
nothing.
The soil.
There's nothing. They're growing in stuff. And honestly, I went looking at pictures just the other day, and I've done this over the years, but
right,
you know, just kind of a reminder for myself. I'm looking at these pictures of these crops that these farmers are bragging about. Like, look at this crop. You know, there's no weeds.
My corn is 10 feet tall.
Yes, and look at it's ready to be taken to the manufacturers or whatever, and they start showing down the rows, and all you can see is the soil that is compacted. And it looks dead. And no weed would want to grow there. I mean, weeds, you know, weeds serve a purpose.
Yeah.
And when you start seeing, like we were talking about the other day, you start seeing particular weeds, you can go, huh, that area really
right.
needs more nitrogen. Or, you know what, that soil's too compacted. And so we've got a
aerate.
Lot of dandelion,
yeah.
dandelions, because that's their job.
Right.
To aerate.
So when people look at their even just their lawns, their front lawns, and they see a bunch of weeds in it, and they do everything they can to get rid of it.
Get rid of the weeds.
Well, they're really fighting the health of the yard, actually,
yeah.
is because those weeds they have a job, just like you
yeah.
said. They're usually aerating soil.
Right.
They're usually providing nutrients that are missing in the soil.
Right. And so if you can somehow naturally, like we talk about using animals to go through and increase, like chickens will go in, they'll naturally aerate that area. They'll be
yeah.
scratching and pecking and doing all that. And rabbit poop soup.
Yeah.
You know, adding that type of thing to your soil as well.
Right. And
instead
we know,
of spraying it with herbicides.
Yeah, exactly. And we know, for example, where we get our raw milk, they twice a year, they take all the manure from their livestock and they spread it on the fields.
Yep.
That's their form of fertilization, and that's all they do.
Yeah.
They don't spray anything.
And it's a beautiful...
Yeah.
Beautiful pasture.
Yeah. So is, you know, we talked about, are they harmful? I think that's obvious. There's also the idea that, well, they can feed the world, honey. They can feed the world. And obviously,
right.
your silly little tree hugging, roll around in the mud stuff, that's just not going to feed the world. And we got to feed the poor.
Right.
So
because the majority of the crops are for
GMO.
Human consumption. Yeah.
There's that. The third of it is used for animals that actually don't even need it.
Right.
Because they could eat grass and that'd be healthier. But
right. And the other is food additives. So really none of it is being grown to feed anyone food.
All right. Well, let's
and besides the fact that, let's talk about that a little bit more, because when you start talking about the introduction of GMO crops, now exactly what we were just talking about, you're destroying the soil.
Yeah.
And if you're going into a poor country and you want to say, you know what, we're going to bring GM crops so that your village can eat, and you bring it in, well, guess what? Next year, you got to pay for those seeds. You have to get more chemicals, because that's the only thing that's going to make them grow.
Right. It's not even a feasible way of farming in a lot of third world countries.
It's not. No. And again, you're taking total control. What was the movie we watched? GMO OMG.
They were talking about Haiti and how Monsanto, just out of the graciousness of their hearts, had donated all this seed.
Right, which now they had to buy all the chemicals to make it grow,
and once they get started with it, they're stuck.
Right, they're stuck, and so there was a huge uproar of all the locals saying, no, we don't want it. Get out, Monsanto, because they understood the value of their heirloom seeds.
Right.
They're seeds that they've been growing and they've been farming for generations.
And by the way, it was USAID that was trying to distribute all of the free seed. That's a government agency.
Again, the government. It's always the government.
Okay, so we know that, we don't know that GMOs are specifically harmful, but that it's a non-sustainable way of farming. We know that.
Right.
And when you compare, there's been several tests, and most people will not have heard about this or will not talk about this. But there's been several tests. There's this one, that one organization that grew. They're doing both. They're doing the commercial agricultural model, business model, using the GMO foods and all the chemical farming on one side, and on this side they're doing it in an organic manner.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're even doing monocropping just the same. And in the first year or two, the GMO crops and the chemical farming outperformed the organic model.
Right.
But when you started getting into year 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 and beyond, the organic started to catch up and then pass.
Yep.
The GMO chemical model.
Yes, and then you start looking at the soil, and you go, well, now we can't use this plot.
They're killing.
Yeah. The organic side makes the soil more usable, more diverse, and the other side is literally like, okay, we have to rotate. We have to change crop place now,
right,
because we can't use this land.
Right. You're just quickly drawing all the nutrients out on the chemical side. You're drawing all the nutrients out. You're killing all the life in the soil, and therefore decreasing the nutrients. And it's interesting, when you kill all the life in the soil, you actually get a temporary bump in the nutrient level because of the death of all the microorganisms. Mm-hmm. But that's quickly gone.
Right. It doesn't last.
That's a short-term fix. That's a 1-2 year fix. And then you're going downhill after that.
Right, exactly.
So it's a bogus argument to say that you can feed the world with GMOs, or somehow that's better than organic, or that you can't feed the world doing natural type methods. Okay?
Right.
Before we transition, I want to kind of rant about a couple things real quick. And that is, the base assumptions of people on both sides of this issue and how they are dead wrong, in my opinion. On the one side, on the far left, for the earth worshippers, people that roll around in the mud and who say things like, there are 7 billion people in the world, we can't feed them all, and we need to start culling human beings.
Yeah.
Okay, they won't say that outright, but that is what they're saying.
Well,
we need to control population.
Yeah, they outright say we need to decrease the population. We need to,
that's right.
Put in things like implement China's one-child rule.
Yeah, I mean, they'll straight up say that. And it's like, no, we want the government to come in and control things. And, you know, it's very sad to hear that, but I hear it quite often. On the other hand, you hear big agriculture, big business, and and unfortunately a lot of government, saying that if we're going to feed 7 billion people, 8 billion people, 9 billion people, then we have to use these conventional methods. Both assumptions are terribly wrong, and I want to prove it. Right now, there's approximately 7 billion people in the world. And I've got an article in front of me from the New York Times, and it's an opinion piece. But it talks about how we create or grow, I should say, if you kind of multiplied it out and did the math, per human being on the planet, we produce 2,700 calories a day per person. Okay, and that's with our current, that's our current model, which I think is a terrible model.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not even coming close to producing what we could produce. Do I think we can feed 7 billion people? Absolutely. We're doing it now, even with our terrible practices.
Right.
We could feed 15 billion people, 20 billion people. I'm sure of it if we did sound, sustainable practices. So I think both sides are dead wrong. Their assumption that we can't feed 7 billion, so we need to kill human beings, and the fact that we need to do this commercial agriculture in order to do it. I think both are wrong. So we can feed the world easily. We're doing it now. Our problem is not the amount of food we're producing. We're producing enough food. Now, that food is not getting to people
right,
who need it.
Right, it's distribution. And that is exactly what we're talking about. If we're growing food in the conventional ways we are, in these large monocrops, and then we have to put it into trucks or we have to put it into planes and go distribute it to other countries, that's the problem, the distribution. It's
right.
Not the growing.
Yeah.
So if we can get down to more localized and community taking care of themselves rather than having to ship it in, we'd actually be really feeding
yeah.
the world.
Yeah, and the other problem with this, and this article goes on to say that what we talked about earlier, is that almost a third of commercial agriculture is used to feed animals.
Right.
Okay, and that's to feed animals that don't need to be fed with grains. Our scripture for today comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. This concludes today's podcast. Thanks for listening. Please visit us on our website, thecourageouslifepodcast.com. We'd appreciate any comments or questions that you have. And also like us on Facebook, The Courageous Life Podcast. Semper Fidelis and Soli Deo Gloria.